Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, February 9th, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
You know, I've been on mute for about 5 minutes, and I've been cracking wise at the jokes you were making, but you just didn't know. So no. I'm doing good.
Okay, well, I'm glad that at least someone was entertained, even if it was you all alone.
Exactly.
Hey, John Martellaro.
That reentry joke was good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I like my physics and spaceflight humor. John Martellaro, speaking of, how are you?
I have no idea how to top this, so I'm just going to say good morning.
You know, sometimes taking the higher road, as you do, is the better choice. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Blue Apron. We'll talk about them in a bit, at which point I will do my best to make sure that Brian leaves the show hungry. You know, it's what I do. So there is this new report that's out about the 10th anniversary iPhone. So tentatively called the iPhone 8. And it's going to have, according to reports, a 5.8-inch OLED display. It's going to have more than 256 gigs of RAM. It's going to have a stainless steel frame and a glass back.
Wait, RAM or storage?
Storage. Thank you. Storage. That's a very important distinction. And it may not have the physical buttons that we're familiar with today, but instead we'll have touch-sensitive regions to replace all the buttons, dual cameras, and it's going to cost more than $1,000.
Of course, we know how touch-sensitive regions worked out with the Cube. So I hope they are improving on that. I had a Cube once. Every time I touched it, it would shut down or reboot.
Yeah, I've still got one. You want to buy it?
No, thank you.
Okay, just checking.
It'll be crazy.
You're not a collector, are you, John?
I do have a museum of electronics in the hutch.
Well, you but just do little need things a cube like my original museum, brother.
Like my original iPhone. Oh yeah, it was a cube. That was the most frustrating computer ever.
You know, it was nice, though, when back in the day, because I was consulting with graphic design companies, and they were buying cubes because they looked cool. When I had to work on them for whatever reason, you know, put RAM in, figure out why the hard drive is dead, it was really easy. Just drop that whole core right out, and you've got access to everything. So,
yeah,
there was that. But
it was cool.
But,
all right, so listen, I have a question about this iPhone thing.
Okay.
Is that supposed to be the starting price of the iPhone line? Because that seems crazy.
No, this is going to be the price for the special edition top-of-the-line phone. We'll still have the 4.7-inch model and the 5.5-inch model, and they will very likely be at the same price points that we have today. And they will be using LCD screens instead of OLED, and probably won't have any storage increases for those models. So what we're talking about is a premium model iPhone to celebrate the 10th anniversary, and it's going to come with a premium price. But it's probably not that much of a premium price, because the top of the line iPhone 7 Plus model today is $969. So going up to $1,000 isn't that much of a price jump at that point.
It's a mental barrier. Hmm.
Sure.
You need to do quantum tunneling to get through this $1,000 barrier.
Well, my guess is that the drill bit on their quantum tunnel drill is called sexy.
Yes, and it'll have 10th anniversary edition printed on the back, and that'll be worth $100.
it would be interesting for Apple to have a model that is drastically different from the rest of the line. Heretofore, Apple is all I mean, like, there's been a couple of bits of difference between, say, the 7 and the 7 Plus, or the 6 and the 6 Plus, or the 6S and the 6S Plus. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen to date a situation where it's an entirely different product.
Well, we may approach that with this anniversary model iPhone.
You know, I think there is something there, Brian, though. When you get to a 5.8-inch screen, I've seen a lot of articles that talk about how when people have a 5.5-inch, they really don't have any need for an iPad. Maybe they can't afford it. They just put all their peas in one bucket with the iPhone. So when you have a 5.8-inch display, it makes me think, because we haven't heard about any future for the iPad Mini, that maybe the iPad Mini is going away.
Because it's just possible. I think
we've talked about how easy it is to read books and do navigation and do all the things you do on a 5.5-inch screen. So that's just a thought.
A huge iPhone and the Mac Mini serve very, very different markets.
iPad Mini.
Yeah, what did I say?
You said Mac Mini.
I did say Mac Mini. That's interesting. A huge iPhone and an iPad Mini serve very, very different markets.
I don't know about that.
iPad Mini is essentially a less expensive, smaller iPad. It's not intended as a phone replacement. It's not a
communication device. At least not in the same way that a phone is. So, Brian, I'm with you there. I don't think a bigger iPhone is a harbinger of death for the iPad Mini.
No, I think
the iPad Mini is. I'm not going to bet you lunch, but I'm going to hang my hat on that one.
I think that what we've seen with the iPad Mini is merely another example of Apple's failure to iterate.
Could be. For me with the iPad line, I do use it in a distinctly different way than I use my iPhone. And I've actually found that the original size iPad is the one I'm using the least now. And I use an iPad Pro a lot, and I use an iPad Mini a lot.
Mm-hmm. Same here. I have an iPad Mini on the nightstand. Always charged and on my nightstand for my nighttime reading. But when I'm down in my office, it's the iPad Pro.
And my iPhone, though, serves very different purposes.
That's your mobile go-to. You don't take your iPad Pro out of the house much, right?
I take it all the time.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
To Starbucks?
Oh, yeah. I have this really nice bag that will hold my iPad, my Apple Pencil, my sunglasses, a few other little things. And then my iPhone's in my pocket, and off I go.
What about your MacBook Pro? Isn't that where you do your writing?
Yes, but if I'm writing in the coffee shop and I'm not actually publishing anything and I just need to work on writing, I'll take the iPad Pro.
What's your writing tool?
Pages? Ulysses.
Oh, not Scrivener.
Not Scrivener. Ulysses. I wanted something that was very focused on just the elements that I need for writing, and Ulysses fit the bill.
Cool.
Yep.
That's all of the show.
So even with what we're expecting from this new anniversary iPhone, it's not something that would replace even my iPad Mini. So I'm with Brian. iPad Mini's not going away.
All right. Well, I already owe you lunch.
It's just going to keep languishing.
Bad language on the show. I already owe you lunch, so I'll just owe you another lunch.
All right, so Brian's not going hungry. We've established that. Before we move on, though, the last thing I think we need to establish for right now, just assuming that these reports are right, and this is what's happening, three models of iPhone this fall, 4.7, 5.5, and then a premium 5.8 model to celebrate the 10th anniversary. Are you guys interested in getting that 5.8-inch model?
I am kind of interested.
No.
Maybe Dave Hamilton will send me a subsidy check, and then I can upgrade. Who knows? I can dream. What I have been researching is the sources saying no. Okay. Well, I'm intrigued. I've been doing a little bit of research this morning when I had time on the prices of LCD versus AMO LED displays and their equivalent. So I got to research the difference between the prices of the OLED and the AMO LED. There might be a difference. But my sense right now is that this is not a big driver of the price. The manufacturing of the stainless steel and the glass and the extra storage would probably be the drivers. Plus that 10th anniversary carving on the, or engraving on the back.
Yeah, with the special chamfered edges.
That's right.
On the letters, yeah. All right, so John is intrigued, but hasn't committed. Brian, you're definite no. And
yeah, I don't want to lug around an iPhone that big.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I won't even lug around a 5.5-inch iPhone. So
no, I would have gotten the 7 Plus if I was going to get a bigger iPhone simply because of the portrait mode camera.
Yeah.
And you know, the portrait mode camera didn't get me to lug a big iPhone around. So
same here.
Fancy AMOLED display or OLED display isn't going to do so either.
When I see people out in the wild using an iPhone 6 Plus or a 7 Plus, I get a little jealous. I don't know what it is. I made a conscious decision to buy a 7, not a 7 Plus, for financial reasons, but I do get a little jealous when I see people pull out a big, glorious display and start, you know, doing things.
Maybe this fall, you're going to boost up your screen size.
That's what she said, huh? So how about that blue apron?
Oh, my God. Brian, that was a really great way of...
Master of segues.
Yeah. Anyhow, so hey, Blue Apron, that's our sponsor today. And oh, Brian, you're the best. What I love about Blue Apron is that, hey, I'm not going hungry, and I'm not going hungry in a classy way, because they're coming up with these really cool meals that I wouldn't have thought of myself. And no, I guess part of what it comes down to is I wouldn't have gotten around to getting the massively giant cookbook off my shelf and pawing through it for hours to figure out exactly what I want to make. Blue Apron did it for me. They came up with, they're always coming up with these new, interesting meals. And you know, just stuff that sounds really great, like roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad. That sounds intriguing. I'm in. And they find all the best ingredients they can, get the highest quality stuff, and then they measure everything out, chop up all the vegetables, get really good quality cuts of meat, and then they package all of this stuff up fresh and ship it right to your door along with the instructions and recipes so that you know how to put together every meal that they send you. And when you're done, you have something that tastes really awesome. And you're not going hungry in a classy way. So if you don't like one of the meals that they have as their primaries for that week, no problem. They always have some alternates you can choose from. And I love how easy it was to get set up. I love how easy it is to pick out the menu choices that I want for the week. And I love that everything just shows up on my front doorstep. And every meal that I've made so far has taken like about 30 minutes. So it's you know, fast too. I just love it. It's great stuff. So what you people need to do is not go hungry. And because really, I don't want you guys withering away to nothing on me. I really care. So you need to head over to the Blue Apron website so that you can get three of the meals from your first order for free. So what you do is you go over to blueapron.com/TDO. That's blueapron.com/TDO. And place your order for the meals you want. The first three are going to be free, and you get free shipping. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. You don't go hungry. You're getting to try some awesome new things that you wouldn't have thought to try, and you get to keep those recipe cards. So if you want to make something again, you can go to the grocery store and pick up the stuff and do it on your own. It's really great. So thank you, Blue Apron, for being our sponsor, and go get your free meals, blueapron.com/TDO. Okay, so John, you're pretty smart, and you really think through a lot of stuff, and you think you...
I'm your personal astrophysicist.
You are.
Along with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's right.
I stole that from him.
You're our astrophysicist to the stars. I thought that was really funny. Just me. Anyhow, wow, tough crowd.
I was on mute again.
Oh, well, it's probably for the best, I'm assuming. So, John, you think you may have figured out how we can sort out how many MacBook Pros Apple's been selling.
Well, yeah.
I'm totally putting on the spot, aren't I?
It's
the thing he's going to write about today.
Isn't that what you're writing about today?
I'm writing about a new book that Sean Carroll, a Caltech astrophysicist, has published.
Oh, well, then tell me about that.
Yeah. And chapter 9, he talks about learning about the world. And I was very intrigued by this chapter because he talks about the Reverend Thomas Bayes. Bayes was an English Presbyterian minister in the 1800s who developed Bayesian mathematics. And I want to read you a little bit from chapter 9 from Sean Carroll's book. He says that when we're thinking about the reliability of our understanding, we have to admit that there are some things that are not perfectly reliable. This admission is the first step towards wisdom. The second step on that road is to understand that while nothing is perfectly reliable in our knowledge, our beliefs aren't all equally unreliable either. And that's sort of a convoluted way of talking about how the physicist, just because the physicist doesn't know everything, it doesn't mean he doesn't know anything. So continuing, some are more solid than others. A nice way of keeping track of our various degrees of belief and updating them when new information comes our way was the contribution for which Bayes is remembered today. So I'm a constant observer of observers of the both myself and people who write about Apple. And it intrigues me to think about how we may have these original beliefs, which we create, and they may be subjective. But then we constantly are inundated with new information about Apple. And the way we assign credences to that new information and the way we update our understanding of Apple and the reliability of our thoughts about Apple is right down the alley of this discussion of Bayes and mathematics and Bayes. I'm not going to go into the math, but I am intrigued by this process of credences and updating information and constantly refining based on new information. And the reason I thought about that was because, well, Apple's recent earnings report was a holiday quarter. It was a record-breaking holiday quarter. And you look at the numbers, and, you know, we were kind of concerned about the Mac, but Apple sold more Macs in the quarter. We were kind of concerned about Apple's ability to make money and sell iPhones. They did very well. And so on an objective level, a lot of the things that get folded into your updated understanding of your knowledge base and attitude towards Apple has to do with this constant flow of information that comes in and how you update it and change your credences. If you don't do that, then you keep holding on to the same old ideas, then you're not properly updating your understanding. So I think this is a fascinating topic, and I'm glad I ran across it last night when I was reading this book by Sean Carroll, the theoretical astrophysicist, called The Big Picture. It's chapter 9. So that's what I'm going to write about.
Awesome. So I completely misunderstood what you're writing about, but this is actually really intriguing, and I'm really looking forward to reading this. If you ever figure out a way to figure out how many Macs Apple is selling,
then
you'll have to let me know.
The short story there is that we know how many Macs Apple sold in 15. We know how many they sold in 16. We know what their revenue was in the 2 years. We know that it was $7.2 billion for 2016. We know that the MacBook Pro came along. We know what the listed price was, and we can estimate what the average price was for each device. You might be able to back out mathematically doing some simple back-of-the-envelope calculations. You might be able to figure out how many non-MacBook Pro Touch Bars they sold and how many MacBook Pro Touch Bars they sold, because Apple doesn't tell us the mix. But I figure they had to sell a whole lot of them to really... Of course, the price is higher, too. So that ASP going up is what contributed to Apple's higher revenues for Mac. So there may be enough data
there. The most you could ever figure out would be a range.
Oh, sure. That goes back to what I was just talking about before with the credence and reliability of your data. You can do an estimate and you can probably apply some error bars and say, you know, the model looks like Apple may have sold between 700,000 and 1.2 million MacBook Pro Touch Bars. You can't come out with a real number. I love these analyst estimates where they say, you know, Apple sold 6.23 million watches, you know, and then the Christmas quarter. And I go, really? Really? Well, because that's what pops out of their spreadsheet, because people don't do error bar analysis. I've bitched about that before.
Yes, you have. And so knowing that the types of numbers that people are coming up with are estimates, it's important to remember that they're very fluid because they're estimates. So sticking to a specific number and saying no, this is definitive is kind of foolish, because mm-hmm. you can always find more information and refine your numbers. Maybe you were way off, or maybe
air bars don't go over well in print on the internet.
Oh, they don't, you know, make for sexy headlines.
No, it doesn't, and it makes for messy notation. Where if you were to write that Apple sold 6.23 plus or minus 0.6 million watches, people would get confused by the symbol shock in the notation. And so I think they just find it simpler to say, well, here's the number we thought. We know it's rough. We'll correct it later.
All right. Fair enough.
So say we all.
Hey, we are out of time, so we need to wrap up. John, thank you for showing up today with all your brilliant mathematics.
You're very welcome.
And Brian, thank you for being here too, and doing your best to try and keep me in line. I totally get that's a hard job.
Sometimes it is. It's good to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have both of you here. It's also great that Blue Apron is our sponsor today. Head over to their website, blueapron.com/TDO, and get the first 3 meals off your order for free, plus free shipping. It's really good food. You're going to like it. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.